Erev Shabbat Shalom. Good morning, everybody. This week is Shabbat Parashat Vayera, getting closer to the Geula. This is the parasha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to smite the enemies of Am Yisrael, getting one step closer to the Geula. First of all, I want to say that the Dibrei Torah today should be Le'ilu Nishmato HaTorah of my Roshiva Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. His yahrzeit is tomorrow on Koach B'Tevet. The mirror Shiva Alam Shalom, I'm going to refer Shmuel Ben Ari Leib Berenberg, Zechet Tzadik Kadosh Libracha, Sheli, Veshelachim, Shalom. So we'll say, Dvarim Leinu Nishmato. So we find that the beginnings of Moshe Rabbeinu Shlichut, his being sent as a messenger to Am Yisrael and to Paro, really begins from this week. This is really the first time that it begins taking steps, taking actions in front of Paro. And there's a pasuk in the beginning of the parasha that seems a little bit cryptic. The pasuk says, "Vayidaber Adonai el Moshe ve'el Aaron, vayitzavem el bnei Yisrael ve'el Paro melech Mitzrayim, leotzi bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe ve'Aaron, and he sent them to command bnei Yisrael and to tell Paro to send Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. The only problem is, the Torah doesn't say what exactly it was that Hashem commanded. It says, "Vayitzavem el bnei Yisrael." What did Hashem command Moshe ve'Aaron to command Am Yisrael? It doesn't say. "Vayitzavem la'asot ma," la'agid ma. Doesn't say what. Well, that's the Paro. He didn't command Moshe ve'Aaron to tell Am Yisrael to take yourselves out of Mitzrayim. So Paro got one message, and Am Yisrael were supposed to get another message. So what is it exactly that Moshe ve'Aaron were tasked was telling Am Yisrael, Mazin? So there's a very interesting Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Perek Gimel. And over there, the Gemara says, interestingly enough, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Bitzchak, Al Matzivam, Al Parashat Shiluach Avadim. When Moshe and Aharon, remember, and at this point, they weren't even able to listen. What were Moshe and Aharon talking to Am Yisrael about at this time? About the mitzvah of sending, of setting free the Jewish servant. Not yet. We're going to see that in a moment. But that's at this juncture, when they were still building the pyramids and they were still had backbreaking labor, Moshe Aharon, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather, sent Moshe Aharon and he felt it an appropriate opportunity to command Am Yisrael to free their Jewish slaves. Now, watch this. There's another pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Bemet. The Navi says, "Ko amad Adonai lo Yisrael, anochi karati berit et avotechem, biyom motzi otam eretz Mitzrayim mibet abadim lemor, miket sheva shanim tishlechu ish et achiv ha'ivrim." Tishlechu ish et achiv ha'ivrim. Hashem says that I made a covenant with Am Yisrael on the day that they left Egypt, that they should set free their Jewish servants, their Eved Ivri. And Bemet, because that, the Navi says, because you didn't do that, that's why all of the Galut Bavel and all that happened, because they didn't observe this mitzvah of setting free their Jewish servants. The question is, Rabotai, not to chas v'shalom mitigate Jewish slaves, not to mitigate the importance of the mitzvah of setting free a Jewish slave, but let's put things in perspective, okay? Am Yisrael were still in Mitzrayim in the middle of backbreaking labor. They couldn't even listen, they couldn't talk, nothing. You're talking to them about a mitzvah that's not relevant until 14 years, until after Am Yisrael enter Eretz Yisrael and conquer the land and then split up the land into the Shvatim, which is at least 14 years after they entered Eretz Yisrael. So this is not going to be relevant for another at least 54 years. What is the rush? What is the, you know, what's the behala? You know, in Yiddish we say, was brent, what's the urgency to tell them in Mitzrayim, in the middle of the back-breaking labor of this mitzvah, of setting free the one second. So why couldn't you just wait for Matan Torah? Matan Torah, with all the other mitzvot, if you take them out of Mitzrayim, give this mitzvah as part of the rest of the Torah, b'shalom on Yisrael. Why does it have to be now? And be'emet, there is the Sichot Musar, Hazon Chaim Shmulevitz writes that the idea right now was, right now, Am Yisrael were in the throes, in the worst part of the servitude. When the Makot started, we know that it didn't stop until the Makot really, once the Makot started, Makat Dam, Rashi quotes the Midrash, who says that that's when the bondage stopped. Yeah? How long did the Makot take altogether?
Year.
1 year. So they, from when Makat Dam started, the servitude, the bondage, the slavery stopped. But before then, that's when the slavery was at its peak. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Am Yisrael and said, eventually, you're going to enter Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give a mitzvah whereby it's possible to purchase Eved Ivri. And after 6 years, unlike Eved Kena'ani, which is La'olam Bahim Ta'avodu, which you own forever, it's real property. With regards to Eved Ivri, it's not property at all. After 6 years of work, you have to let him free. So he says, that being said, Moshe Rabbeinu says, and I know, releasing, you purchased him, you bought him, he's working for you, he's productive. I know it's going to be hard for you in the future to let him go. It's hard for anybody to let go of any assets, especially things that bring a person success. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I know it's going to be very, very difficult. And that's why right now, when you're at the peak, this is the, you know, the epitome of your slavery. I want you to remember this moment about how you can't even listen to me, how torturous slavery really is. And remember that when it comes time to free yourself. That's why Hashem says, I'm not even waiting for Matan Torah. I'm giving you this mitzvah now, so you can always associate this mitzvah with your situation, with the feeling that you have right now. Brings it to life. That we know. That's why the Torah says multiple times. Says, we know many times in the Torah gives a mitzvah not to oppress a ger. V'ger lo tilchatz, ki gerim heitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. The Torah says, you know why you don't oppress a ger? Yeah? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu convince us not to oppress gerim? Because what? Because remember, you were gerim in Mitzrayim also. You were foreigners and you were oppressed there. You like it? That's what we call process of association. The most powerful tool in life is always to associate. By the way, that's how we remember things. People, even those with maybe not as powerful memories, and even those with very strong memories, the most powerful memory tool is process of association. We know that. We associate different things and different events with different times and different pictures and different things. That's how we remember things. Hashem says, use this process of association to help you keep the mitzvot later. We know, the Gemara tells us also in Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Kaf, the Gemara brings a list of several people throughout history who could have sinned very easily and possibly would have been justified in doing so, but they were mitgaber over their yetzer hara and they didn't do it. The Gemara says, Yosef HaTzadik with Eshet Potifar, Boaz with Root on that night before he was married. And says the Gemara Be'at Alit al Kulana, who's the highest of them all? Palti ben Laish. Remember Palti ben Laish? Yeah. That was the Tzadik Yisod Olam, who after Michal Bat Shaul was already Mekudeshet to David HaMelech, Shaul didn't care. He had it out for David and he gave her to Palti ben Laish to marry. And on their wedding night, Palti understood that this was wrong, but he couldn't fight with the king. So on their wedding night, the Gemara says, what did he do? Took a sword and stuck it in the bed. And he says, whoever engages in this should be stand. And the Gemara says that Palti ben Laish was greater even than Yosef and even than Boaz. Why? Because by Yosef, it was you know, Stam, a different woman, Goya. By Boaz, this woman was going to be his wife, but is only one night. By Palti ben Laish, Shaul was tzaddik, was tamid chacham. He could have, rationalized himself, this is my wife. And it wasn't a one-night thing. It was for years until Shaul fell. And now he rightfully returned Michal to her rightful husband. And yet, he didn't sin. The Gemara says that's an unbelievable thing, Palti ben Laish. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped save him from the Avirah. Now listen carefully. What's this thing with the sword? What does it mean? Yeah. Whoever does this thing should be stabbed by the sword. Yeah, the same way you put the sword in the bed, you could take it out and throw it away. What's the thing with the sword? Ah, says the Sichot Musar, it's not necessarily that anybody's going to wield the sword and do anything, but the sword was a symbol. It's process of association. You make yourself some sort of mark, some sort of siman. You remember the resolve I had on that night? On that night, it was terrifying. Now, human nature is that as time goes on, you become more and more, immune to a situation. And at a certain point, everybody falls. Yeah. Ask a doctor. The first time a doctor loses a patient, how does he feel? It's terrible. Sometimes, doctors sometimes can't come to terms with it. And then what happens? Happens more and more and more and more and more and more. They get used to it. Now, that's a good thing and it's a bad thing because you can't, if you're going to sit shiva for every patient that you lose, so you're not going to be able to function. But on the other hand, it kind of desensitizes a person to the value of human life. It's a very, very thin line. You have to be very careful. And it's like that with everything else at the time. Yeah. I remember when I was doing internship on Gittin in the Rabbanut in Yerushalayim. So we used to go once a week. We finished learning about Gittin. So the kollel sent us, two of us, we used to go every Tuesday. And I remember when I was there, every time, and you see like terrible stories, tragic stories from everybody, all walks of life there. Everybody's, it's a terrible sight. And I used to come home, my wife almost didn't let me go because I used to come home every time from those, from the Rabbanut. I used to come home with migraines and I used to come and throw up. I wouldn't be able to go back to Kol. I used to just come home and throw up and have migraines. Why? Because it was so hard for me. And one time I asked one of the Dayanim, who I was learning by, I asked him, doesn't this, because they go through about, there's like 10, 15 a day. It's like a shuk, a shuk of Chas V'Shalom. So I asked him, this doesn't bother you? This doesn't faze you? He says, what can I do? I'm already used to it. Happens after years and years and years of doing the same thing. You become immune. That's what happens.
It's like the right situation.
Well, it's not a mitzvah. When it happens, if a person wants to, if it comes to that, this is the way to do it. It's not a mitzvah. Understand the difference. Now, that being said, Rabotai, if that's the case, how many times do we find? We find also in the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu made remember Parashat Noah. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very angry at mankind, what's that sign? Yeah, the Torah says, V'ayah be'anani anan ala aretz, v'nirata keshet be'anan. Rashi says that when Hashem gets very angry, he makes the rainbow and kavyachon that reminds him of the berit that he made with us, and he doesn't destroy the world. Yeah, that's why people sometimes foolishly, they look, oh wow, that's so pretty, wow, what a rainbow, it's nice. Like they think it's like unicorns and pots of gold and lucky charms. What's that shtiyot ha'emin? A rainbow means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is enraged at the world and we should all be dead. That's what it means. People take pictures, v'zeh. Yeah, it's like taking a picture of...
It's a scientific
phenomenon. B'chol zot. Who created the science? A Kadosh Baruch Hu created it. Now listen carefully.
So anytime there's a rainbow, that means Hashem wanted to destroy it?
Absolutely.
In the sky.
Not like one of those garden hose rainbows. Not those.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the ones after, the ones after the rain. Those in the sky. Now that being said, Rabotai, the Mefarshim ask, why is it HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a rainbow to remind him not to destroy the world? HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers his berit very well. Says the Sichot Musar, obviously Hashem doesn't need any reminder, Chas V'Shalom. Hashem ki zocher kol hanishkachot ata ve'en shechah lifnei chisech avodecha. Elama, Hashem is teaching us this idea of making a reminder, make an ot, make a sign for yourself that in times of need, Pull it out, look at it, and don't lose your resolve. We find many, many different things that a person who, different stories in the Gemara, without getting into it in too much detail now, about Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya, it's a Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Zayin, Chote Gadol. But what at the last minute, he was Chozer Betshuva.
What did he do?
He was a terrible... He was a big, big no'ef. He had a terrible, terrible yitzhara. And at the last moment, he stopped. Again, it raised my hand. Anyway, the kitsu. Mikey, Does Zoom have somebody watching you as you're doing stuff? I don't know. For sure somebody's watching.
Like Rav Shirk. Rav Shirk.
Maybe. Now he says like this. Aval mikol makom, listen carefully. This guy at the last minute, he grabbed on and he says, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore. And he asked, Shamayim va'aretz, pray for me. Harimu gva'ot, mountains, pray for me. And they all said no. He says, in kenem adavar kalui elabi, and he cried himself to death, literally. And there's an interesting thing. The Gemara says at the end, when Rabbi heard this story, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Bachar Rabbi ve'amar, yesh kone onamo b'sha'a echad. A person can obtain his portion in the world to come in one moment. Even though this guy's entire life was Rasha Menusha, at the last moment he caught himself and was Chozer B'Tshuva, he made it into Olam Haba. That's, so why is that reason to cry? That's reason to celebrate, make a Kiddush. You know, that's a big, why cry? Many, many different Pirushim on why. Meharsha and Yaakov, there's many different Pirushim. But one of the most beautiful Pirushim I've ever heard is that, why did it be cry? Because just as easy as it is to gain Olam Haba in an instant, it's just as easy and sometimes even easier to lose a person's Olam Haba in one instant. We work our entire lives trying to get in to Olam Haba and trying to get a better seat and a better view and a better yeshiva, right? These are this world is the building blocks, right? It's the springboard to get into Olam Haba. How tragic it is, says Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that a person can work his entire life to get into Olam Haba and then lose it at the last second. Bar Minan. It's a very, very scary thought. Yeah, that's the beauty and the power of tshuva. That's the tshuva is not logical. Teshuva doesn't make any sense, right? If a person did the crime, he's got to do the time. Teshuva overrides human intellect. Teshuva is much, it transcends logic and svara. Rabotai, this is a very, very important thing to realize. When a person has one of those, we call it in Yiddish, it's called an einfall. In English, it's called an epiphany. You know what an epiphany is? Every person in his life has a moment or moments where it comes and ding, and you have this inspiration to change, to do something good, to do something better. Don't let it die. Grab it, memorialize it, make some sort of siman that you can hold on to, because it'll never come back. You need to grab life by the horns. You got to do that, Rabotan. So, wish you.
What was the siman in this week's parasha?
No, that they were as they were working. He says, "Told them the mitzvah parashat Shiloh Habatim." I thank you all for listening. Shabbat Shalom, Vorach. Kol Tov. Be healthy. Be well. Stay safe. And bevadai, Rabotan, not only for my shul, I beg you. If you don't feel well, you know, Torah dictates that you don't go to shul or you don't go places where, you know, where you gather. If you're not feeling well, you have symptoms, and if you wearing a mask is not going to help you, you know, Hashem appreciates everybody's tremendous will to go to shul and to go learn. That's wonderful, but not at the expense of getting people sick. If you don't feel well, stay home. And, you know, don't try not to be next to other people. It's a very, very important thing, especially now. This Omicron thing is spreading like wildfire. Now, they say it's inevitable. Many people are going to get it, but a person should try not to be the catalyst for that. A person, who knows who's going to get and what's going to happen to them. So, pashut. If you don't feel well, stay home, get tested, do what you need to do. That's also part of the Torah. That's no less important than tefillah b'tzibur, than kriyat Torah, than limud Torah. That's no less important. It's part of being a yid, is this mitzvah as well. So, you know, it's svara pshuta, but some people don't understand, so you have to say it out loud. Huh? That's what we have to do. Rabotai, Shabbat Shalom, be well. Slach Rabbi.